Now, don't go away, because next on CBS Radio's Comedy Time are those two zany characters of many characters, Bob and Ray. Now, from coast to coast, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding are proud to present the... Now, I knew it when we started. The CBS Radio Network. Okay, fellas, take the whistles out in the hall, please. We want to keep the air as fresh as possible in here for the next 15 minutes because it's an important show.
Did you see Mary Magoon when you came in today wearing a Martha Washington costume?
What for?
I don't know. This is not an anniversary of any kind, is it?
Well, she's over in makeup now. When she comes in, we can probably ask her what that's all about.
Because we are wearing our makeup today. You were made up, I believe, as Hans Conried, is it?
Yeah.
And I'm wearing my Edward G. Robinson makeup.
And Joe Cabibbo, our sound man, is attired in a Mickey Rooney suit.
You going to give us a little Rooneyana a little bit later, Joe?
And Mr. Alonzo is attired...
He's dressed as Joe Alonzo today, isn't he?
That's too bad. We'll probably have to fix that one of these days.
There's a new haircut.
Our bird is much better, and his talking is coming along wonderfully. We were
famously, I like to say.
Incidentally, Bob, I was talking with the bird lady this morning, and she's going to come by and identify some birds for us.
That'll be good. Haven't heard
you remember
her?
Her?
Yeah.
She and her husband have a wonderful act. They're trying to more or less round it into shape to tour with it in nightclubs, and we'll give them a try here on the air one of these days.
Okay.
Now, who were you dressed as? I'm trying to remember.
Edward G. Robinson.
Oh, I forget. Now, it isn't a very good job, Bob, at all.
No.
No?
He's a good dresser. I thought it would make me look kind of smart.
And Vic Cowan is dressed as Dame May Whitty?
No, that's Tom Sheehy, our engineer.
Oh, he's dressed as. Oh, and
it's all kind of confusing. This little game we play.
Curtier has his Jane Withers hat on.
Who does?
Curtier.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we're all set then to do the program, whatever it is. And the first thing we want to do is bring down from the lectern the great Bob and Ray hospitality book and read some of the comments.
I wonder, Wilbur Connolly, young squirt who works for us, if you would mind going to the rear of the auditorium, taking the great hospitality book from its lectern and bringing it down here to the stage.
You know it, Patio.
Great ceremony. Mr. Connolly has taken the great book from the lectern and is bringing it down to the Bob and Ray desk. The book has a chain attached to it so no one will steal it. And
just place it right here, Wilbur, please.
There. Now we can read some of the comments of guests who have been here in our studio.
Well, here's one from Lucius Gans of 1694 Tupper Street, Maybury, Vermont. Lucius signs in and says, "What with all the tomfoolery that's going on in Washington, I'd have to say that the D.C. in Washington would have to mean dubious Congress." P.S. Address to all New Yorkers, this is. Suggest that we all hang chains out of our windows during thunderstorms.
Your Wadley Webster is conceited, and I think the way he stands in front of the great Bob and Ray mirror, primping and combing his hair throughout the show, is shocking and ill-mannered. This is signed by Mrs. Wanda Maynard.
Wadley, do you want to comment on that at all?
Well, they do
stand and kind of primp during the...
I guess I'm guilty of that, but I'm so conscious of... looking nicely during a program. That's the case of some of the type of pictures.
It's the case of what? Somebody takes pictures, I know, but they haven't taken any pictures here for weeks.
No. I'll try to guard against that.
Well, okay. And then here's one, an item in the form of a question. Do we get valuables back before we leave today, or do we have to call the cops on our spokesman from the audience?
Somebody with a wonderful sense of humor. Here's another one that says,
You guys may be funny on the radio, but I bet you're miserable at home.
Oh, now that's typical of the unsigned things in the guest book.
Well, that's not true. I mean, we're not only miserable at home, but we're miserable here, too. And I think that was uncalled for.
Hey, here's a good one. I guess we should really take this up later. Sir, I have some information on the whereabouts of Smelly Dave, your great missing dead whale.
What's that?
Meet me tonight at 10 p.m. near the change booth in the T station. I'll give you more information. Bring cash, preferably in small bills, signed an old whale.
Well, Bob, do you have any idea what the penalty is for whale napping?
I don't know, but it should be fairly important, imposing penalty, I should think.
I would think so, because that's a valuable piece of upland caribou that's missing from our...
Well, before we conclude today, before we leave the air, we hope to hear from the detective that we put on the trail of Dave. He said he might call in if he got to Albany.
That's Gumshoe Flaherty.
So now I think, Wilbur, you can take the great hospitality book back to its position at the head of the center aisle. What's that?
You know it, Daddy.
All right, and there he goes. Back to the lectern. The hospitality book once again is closed until another day.
Now then,
he carries that almost as easily as he can carry a Columbia Stereophonic high-fidelity portable phonograph.
That's right. And you don't have to put a chain on that either. Although maybe you should, because they're so desired that somebody may try to take it from your den and move it into another room. But anyway, these are wonderful, as you know. We've been talking about them for several weeks now. And just to go over a few of the more cogent points again, the prices start at $24.95. That's the start of a Columbia Portable, the price, that is. You can thrill to the excitement of Stereo One, Columbia number one in the wonderful world of sound. And there's a selection of seven new portables in smart color combinations. There's more quality, more features, more styling built into the new Columbia portables than ever before. Now, here's my announcer.
Yes, sir, what Ray says is right. Columbia portables are economical, and prices start at $24.95. You see them at your Columbia dealer today. Welcome now to Who Wants to Know, and hello, junior citizens. This is Hartley Shorecroft, your moderator here on Who Wants to Know, and today's guest is the eminent educator Merle Murchison. We'll start things off with you in the first row there.
Nat Lafferty, 17, George Rose Science and Trade.
What's your question, Nat?
Mr. Murchison, what's in store for us?
For who?
For us.
Oh, well, I don't know what's in store for you. Are you speaking for the group, or are you interested in knowing what's in store for yourself as an individual?
I'm speaking for myself, Mr. Murchison. I want to know what's in store for me.
Well, what are you going to do after the program is over, Nat?
Well, I'm going up to Larchmont. That's where I live.
Well, then you pretty much know what's in store for you, Nat. You're going home to Larchmont.
Well, thank you, Mr. Murchison. That's about what I want to know.
All right, and now the young chap with the pipe in the third row.
That's right.
Andrew Axelrod, 15, Bailey Textile and Manual Trade.
What's your question, Manuel?
Mr. Murchison, do you think rock and roll music can hurt our generation?
Well, I've seen instances of it, Textile. I've been through hospital wards. And
Sheila Buncher, 15, Truesdale Manual General. Excuse me for interrupting.
That's all right. Go ahead, General Buncher.
I think that what Andrew Axelrod, 15, of Bailey Textile Manual Trades meant was that he didn't mean could we get hurt from jumping around. He meant could it get us crazy or something like that.
Well, I was trying to answer Manuel Truesdale when you interrupted.
Mr. Murchison, Larry Mansfield, 17, Grover Douglas School.
Go ahead, Doug.
Mr. Murchison, As you know, Grover Douglas is a fine school.
Go on, Grover.
But recently, I've been thinking of transferring either to a Lewis and Clark needle trades or Millard Fillmore Music and Art.
Well, Clark, what advantage does Lewis Needles have over, say, General Manual?
Well, Mr. Merson, they got a swimming pool for one thing, and all the classrooms have windows.
And you say you're currently attending Dick Clark High. Well, that's about all the time we have on Who Wants to Know. Thank you, eminent educator Bailey Trades, for the fiasco we've had here. And so long, junior citizens. And this is Millard Fillmore bidding you goodbye.
Dum, dum, dee, dum, dum. Nice feature, huh?
Yeah.
I have no idea how much time we have remaining. Would you hold up the great huge sign, please? Wonderful.
Yeah, approximately that, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then it would almost be time, I guess, to call in our poetry friend.
Yeah. Come on over, Charles, and sit down.
Around the corner and up your street comes your friendly poet-philosopher, Charles, bringing with him a few memories of yesteryear from the dusty, tattered pages of his poetry scrapbook. Charles.
Hello, everybody. Once on a cloud, I saw your face. Here in my heart, your memory haunts the sky of cloudless azure. But ever and on through countless... through countless eons of uncluttered love, my heart is hollow, my eyes are dim, my heels are run down. And I'm filled with remorse. And I'm filled with remorse, remembrance, regret, and I can't go on.
Once again, someday soon, Charles, your friendly poet philosopher, will be...
Once on a cloud.
No, this isn't today, Charles. Tune in soon when once again Charles will come around the corner with his dusty, tattered manuscript. Until that time, Charles leaves you with...
So long now.
Doesn't look like we're going to hear from Sylvester L. Gumshoe Flaherty, our detective.
I don't think we have enough time. Well, maybe so, if we could see if he's on the wire. He's supposed to call in. Maybe he will. If how about that for a break, huh?
That was very good. Hello.
Hi.
Is this Gumshoe?
Yeah.
Bob and Ray here.
Right. I'm in Albany.
What have you discovered? Have you got any leads on Dave?
Perkins sang like a bird.
What's that?
I say, Perkins up here really sang.
Oh, he did, huh?
Yeah. I think I got a pretty good lead now, and this guy Schrank is some apple.
Well, he's all right. He's worked for us
down
for some time.
He's down in North Carolina somewhere.
Well, that's where Dave was supposed to be. You know.
I have a leg man following Schrank around. So I think,
well, I think you're wasting your time there, Gum. I think maybe if you just tried to find some definite evidence as to who has taken Dave, it would be better than to go after Schrank.
You trying to tell me how to conduct this?
No, no. Well, you know how to be a detective.
But... Yeah. Okay, then. Look, the money. You want to just put it in my account?
Well, we'll discuss that. I think it's time for us to go.
Yeah, we really have to run along. It's been fun. We'll see you all again tomorrow. Until then, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumb.
This is the CBS Radio Network.